The Around the NFL Podcast is starting a children's podcast.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, people?
Hey, hey, hey.
I think that's a throwback nod to when we had our children in here roughly 2.5 months ago. So, you know, a little bit late to the action with that intro.
Extremely timely. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Colleen Wolf sounds like she could be a children's podcast character or something.
Really?
Yeah, this little wolf who's like, you know, kind of.
My dad actually calls me Little Wolf.
Yeah, you know, kind of
there
like,
you, go.
You know, she gets into a little bit of trouble. But in the end, she wins the
lesson. It's a nice thought, Greg. Thank you.
And I just want to be careful.
Not sure what to do with it.
I am dealing with some things behind the scenes right now, fighting for different rights for the show. And you, your intro is hey, hey, hey. And that's a little close to hey, 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 Fat Albert. I'd be careful.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
You're right. We should take that out of the show, maybe.
Maybe. I'm just saying we want to make sure that we don't get you in trouble.
All right, cool.
One
Thank
of many
you.
Elements
Appreciate
that will
that.
Be stripped away. Endless elements being taken out of the show.
Okay.
Am I an element that's going to be taken out of the show?
No, now that you're part of this children's show that Greg has cooked up.
I love this children's show. Yes, we're of course, this is the Around the NFL Podcast presented by Head & Shoulders. And coming up on today's show, so much coming up on today's show. Monday Night Football recap between, of course, the Cowboys and Cardinals, and more drama, of course, tied to the National Anthem protests. Also, coming off a bizarre week, week three, where everything that we thought was right was wrong, and everything that was wrong was right. Let's look ahead to week four and see if we can maybe predict this time the things that won't make sense. It's probably not going to work out, but we'll try. And, of course, Greg, this is what you're here for. This is what you've been waiting waiting all day for Tuesday day.
Careful, Dan.
Oh, wait.
Are you?
You're right.
The afternoon.
Yeah, okay, that's dangerous. The subreddit super contest is back for another week.
Yeah.
Oh, Greg. Craggy.
How are you feeling, Greg?
Well, I think Dan should be a little concerned because last week he asked, you know, the listeners to tell me how much they loved the contest, and it was mostly crickets and a couple people being like, "You're right, Greg. I don't need it."
Yeah, some sycophants. The Greg sycophants came in.
I'm just saying, it didn't get a big response. I was surprised.
Courts of Thunder tweets Greg to say, we agree, not a good segment.
The Greg Twitter eggs, yeah, were active toward Greg. I could see that. It was like, kind of like Kevin Durant did the same thing.
Exactly.
I don't know if you saw that in the news. That
it's great.
Durant had a shadow account to rip on his old team. That's you ripping
and defend
on the subreddit
himself,
account.
Yeah.
It wasn't really ripping. They were just like,
agreeing with you.
So, yes, that comes back. And listen, and don't get mad at me, Greg.
I'm not mad. You asked for the response. I am giving you a true response. It was not a lot.
But let's take a step back. Let's take a step back. You could do your spin zone there. However you want, that's fine. But this contest is for the listeners. It's to say how much we support everyone out there in this in the 7,000 army of subreddit users. And if it's going to end, it's up to them. They have to end it. And I'm just going to tell you something. I wrote some new questions. I'm hoping this ends today, but maybe it won't.
Oh,
we'll
no.
see.
Okay.
So we would never pull the lever on it if it were going on to like August 2023.
We'll make the questions very easy. What is Mark's name?
It could, yeah. And if that doesn't work, it will end the podcast. There is a threat level here.
Yes.
And maybe in the back of your mind, Greg, that's what you're worried about, that it could ruin the show.
Well, I'm excited for it. It sounds like it's going to be
great. I know. You'll love it, Connie. I love it. Here we go. So we got so much to get to, but let's start, of course, with the Monday Night Football recap.
The snap, the spin, the fake handoff, the drop back of 7. He's flushed. He's chased. He runs on the numbers. He cocks his arm. He throws a long pass down the middle in the end zone. Leaping, two-handed, falling down, catch, touchdown. Bryce Butler, touchdown. How did he grab it? Leaping high, bringing it down as Prescott was running for his life.
Is that Kevin Harlan?
Of course.
Wow.
That is absolutely in the running for the top 10. Let's clip that one off, Erica Tamposi. A beautiful catch there by Bryce Butler. Dak Prescott played extremely well, threw two touchdowns, ran for another, and the Cardinals just could not keep up a 28-17 win for the Dallas Cowboys in Glendale. The Cowboys now 2-1. The Cardinals drop to 1-2. Greg Rosenthal, you were on site in Glendale checking out this game. What were your thoughts about the Cowboys? Did this remind you of the team that was so great last season?
No, not at all. You know, they had 150 yards through three quarters. I think Dak Prescott made some shaky decisions that have come because he's getting pressured. He's not used to it. Lyle Collins is not playing well. Tyron Smith, an all-world left tackle, had his problems last night too. But I think the Cowboys after the game were very encouraged because they found a way to win a little different. Maybe they're not going to be an explosive, crazy, dominate the other opposition offense this year, but they still got Dak Prescott, who is able, even in a game where he was a little off for three quarters, to make about four of the best plays you'll see all season, including that throw and a flip into the end zone and another play where he evaded the rush and kept the drive going where they got, you know, a score on that drive too. He was individually great, and the defense kept them in the game, and they finally have a star on defense in DeMarcus Lawrence, who they've been looking for a pass rusher for years, and they got one, and it was the defense that really held the fort. And I think the Cowboys came out of that thinking, all right, if we can win these sort of games, we can build this offense back up, and this is the kind of season in the team that they're going to have.
I feel like with Dallas, they last year authored this incredible story, and it felt like a team with writer's block, especially last week. They just couldn't do what you thought they could do. And this week, yes, it was imperfect in many ways, but they found a way to get productive again. I thought Ezekiel Elliott down the stretch played a really impressive game. I was impressed with him. He was stopped over and over and found a way to get that incredible long run, the touchdown run too. And one moment that I thought really hurt the Cardinals, because they had those two incredible long clock-chewing drives out of the gate. And the second one, when Phil Dawson, yes, he is aged, but he is incredibly reliable, missed that field goal. That was crushing for Arizona. And then just when Carson Palmer, 10 sacks in two games, that offense is defunct when he is getting attacked that way.
The end of that second drive, it's a great point, Mark, ended with a touchdown that was overturned by a holding penalty that DeMarcus Lawrence caused. He had three sacks, six quarterback hits, and I counted three drives that ended on a DeMarcus Lawrence play that didn't even show up in the box score. Not a QB hit, not a sack, where because of that holding call, because of another pressure that Palmer had to get rid of. This guy is ending drives, and through 3 weeks, there's been a lot of great defensive players this year, but you can't put anyone ahead of DeMarcus Lawrence. He's only the third player in NFL history to have multiple sacks in three straight games to start the season.
Think about how many times we sat in this studio in the offseason and talked about how concerned we were about the Cowboys' defense. And watching what they were able to do last night, we have to give so much credit to Rod Marinelli, and maybe we've been underrating a lot of the guys on this defense the whole time.
Well, they have to – look, DeMarcus Lawrence has always been hurt and suspended.
Yeah.
This is the guy they're loving to see. Taco Charlton, their first-round pick, is not even a factor. Malik Collins is another and very important player for them. He's a young player. They have young players in the secondary that are going to get better over the course of the season. I asked Collins after the game kind of, you know, whether the defense was – you know, excited that, hey, maybe this Cowboys team's going to be known for, you know, more than its offense. And he was like, hell yeah, we're tired. I mean, that was his quote. Hell yeah, like, we are tired of being bystanders on our own team. And so maybe this is their recipe. I don't think they're going to win 13 games, but if they can be a little more balanced, they can be good.
I want to make sure before we move on that Larry Fitzgerald gets his credit.
Man.
Oh, what a game.
You know, and a lot of this could be chalked up to how much things have changed in Arizona in terms of the options that Carson Palmer has, because the wide receiver issues, and then also David Johnson now being gone, but targeted 15 times, 13 catches for 149 and a touchdown. And, you know, we don't know how much longer we're going to have Larry Fitzgerald around. So it was good that we got this another prime time in front of America, a huge audience watching Larry Fitzgerald just be great. And, you know, it's a first ballot Hall of Fame.
Go ahead.
He grabbed that ball from Orlando Scandrick in the air.
That was insane.
And then helped him up, put his hand out to help him up after.
He's still fun to watch, and that won't change. And I feel the same way about Carson Palmer. And all this stuff about whether it's his last season or not, the first 35 minutes of that game last night, I thought it was vintage Carson Palmer.
Moved great in the pocket.
Absolutely. But they're defunct if they can't protect him.
They this game, even though, you know, it didn't have a lot of scores for long spots, had the best – if you take the top five plays from this game, that's the best top five plays of any game. There was a ridiculous in this season, a ridiculous amount of great plays, including Bryce Butler, who had two catches for 90 yards and a touchdown, another one that was overturned when he got up and ran in on one of those catches. He only was on the field for three pass routes. That's like the most efficient – that's the most efficient game in NFL history.
How about that play by Dez where he had – how many defenders did he have on him that he was just, like, still going?
Good to see that, Dez.
And he
– Dan's concerned about Dez.
He could not get open. Oh. I mean, he had two catches for 12 yards.
Right. Keep me up at night.
But he had that – like, that was a Rob Gronkowski type of play. And
it
after
was.
The game, like, Butler is talking about, you know, I should have had more fantasy points. And Dez Bryant sitting in the locker next to him was kind of like, eh, pipe down. You know, don't get concerned about your numbers.
He threw up the X on him.
So he's now like the older veteran that's like, don't worry about your numbers. I'm just a member of the team.
And, you know, of course, all the controversy around the NFL and in the country right now and – with the national anthem protests, and Greg, you were on site, by the way. This is a big assignment for you, first of all. They sent you to Monday Night Football to cover this on behalf of the digital company.
You're like kind of a big deal now.
How is that? Is that a big deal?
Thank you very much. Here with NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal.
No, this is big.
NFL.com. Thanks for fitting us in today, Greg.
Connie.
This is
I'm trying to deflect attention off of me that I usually get.
Banter between a couple of network stars.
Well, also,
give me a break with
it
that.
It also is, you know, Dan's strange, you know, put down of NFL.com. NFL.com is paying for my rent. It's paying for my kids' preschool. Forget about NFL Network. NFL.com paying the bills.
Wow. Mm. Nose is a little brown there, buddy. anyway, so you were on site and before the national anthem, the Cowboys, including Jerry Jones and the ESPN cameras, got in nice and tight on Jarrah during this. Dropped to one knee together as the giant football field flag came out. Then they stood up and locked arms for the national anthem. Our president, Donald Trump, tweeted early this morning. Guys, 3:35 a.m.? What's going on here? The booing at the NFL football games last night when the entire Dallas team dropped to its knees was loudest I have ever heard. Great anger. Is that true? You were on site, Greg.
No. I had to ask the writers.
They're fired.
Did they boo briefly? I guess on the TV
copy,
it was pretty loud.
You can hear it on the
It was too. Brief. It was not nearly as loud as when the Cowboys came out onto the field, you know, for the pregame introduction and things like that. It was, you know, a brief booing, and then the Cowboys quickly got up and everyone, you know.
That's interesting, though, that you were there and you really didn't feel like it was loud.
I mean, I've heard a lot of booing in my life. It wasn't like an overwhelming thing, and I think the fact that it was
humble
the Cowboys
brag.
Was part of it. I mean, I'm just saying, it wasn't. Like, because we had to make sure you get the story right, and it was like, oh, did they boo there for a second, or – but it sounded loud on the broadcast.
On television, you can notice. But I also say it's the Cowboys sitting out there, too. It's kind of not a popular figure in that stadium to start with.
All right. So that was the Monday Night Football contest.
Yes,
Greg?
Well, to circle just on the anthem stuff, it really spelled out how tricky this situation is that the Cowboys spoke after the game that they talked about this for 3 days. And they didn't come to a decision on what they were going to do until 15 to 20 minutes left before the game. Jason Garrett revealed that. And the players were uniformly really appreciative of what Jerry Jones did and their owner. And really the reason why it was hard to come to that agreement is similar to what happened in Pittsburgh. The Cowboys wanted the whole team to do one thing, and the team could not come to an agreement. And Mike Tomlin had a press conference that I think is worth listening to on Tuesday, which really explains sort of how tortured this is for some people inside of football, because he was trying to satisfy a lot of people who feel a lot of different things, and it was hard to come up with what he felt was the right thing to do. And I think some players are going to be upset, some aren't. The Cowboys at least felt like they got their point across.
All right, let's keep moving. Do some news.
Actually confirmed that it is an ACL tear. It's unfortunate. Also a broken forearm. So double whammy on the play. But, unfortunate.
All right. Darren Sproles. Let's start there. His season is done. The Eagles running back broke his arm and tore his ACL on the same play in Sunday's win over the New York Giants. Doug Peterson, the Eagles coach, confirmed the injury to reporters on Monday, said he'll be out for the rest of the season. He was moved to IR. He has to undergo surgery on both injuries, according to Rap Sheet. And you wonder, Mark, if this is the end for Sproles, 34 years old, coming off this type of injury. And the thing that's most frustrating, well, it's a terrible break for the guy, but what's also frustrating is that he was the guy that looked good in that backfield. I know they got healthy a little bit back there this past week, but he was moving well, still looked great despite being 34, and now he's done.
Yeah, and it was disturbing watching this when it happened. You could hear him audibly cry out in a word that I'm not allowed to say on this podcast. I don't know what I'm allowed to say on the show, but like he was
hey.
Intense pain. And then, it removes a versatile, productive guy who is one of the more underrated offensive players of this NFL, this current time period. I mean, Sproles has been incredible for the Eagles. They have had a committee all along here. I think Wendell Smallwood, LeGarrette Blount, I thought finally looked pretty good against the Giants. Corey Clement, they've got guys. So it's not that it's the, you know, you have one running back and nothing else, but it's a big loss to what they can do on offense.
The fact that he tore his ACL and broke his arm on the same play, like that's just brutal in and of itself. And he said before the season started that 2017 was going to be his last year. So I don't know if it's going to be like a Steve Smith senior scenario where maybe he does just come back for one more again because the season ended so early. But it puts the Eagles in a tough spot because now they're going to have Torrey Smith returning punts. And Sproles played a big part in the running back rotation as well as special teams.
Also, Torrey Smith, not a guy known for his hands. So let's
see
how that works out.
Darren Sproles is 5'6".
You can tell on game tape.
And he has had such a unique career that he is beloved in three NFL cities. You cannot find many players of the last 25 years that had a career that where he made that big of an impact, where Chargers fans love Darren Sproles. Saints fans have missed him since the day he was gone, and Eagles fans love him too. He is in the top 10, and you said greatest offensive players, and he's such a good returner. Top 10 all time in all-purpose yards, if you include return yards and yards from scrimmage. Like, that is an incredible achievement for a guy who's my height.
I remember him on old Chargers teams. They had a wild upset of the Peyton Manning-led Colts one game. It was some primetime game, if I'm not mistaken. And it was sort of a breakout affair for Darren Sproles. And was like, who is this guy? A, he looks legitimately like a child compared to some of these massive defensive linemen. But he's getting right by him, and he's a fun player to watch.
Anytime anyone uses the word diminutive, they're talking about Darren Sproles.
Yep, like that's typically.
Those, A and B, those two just go together.
And the last time, did his injury bring back memories for anybody else of one of the more memorable Super Bowl injuries that happened not too long ago? Jeremy Lane, the Seahawks cornerback. He, I think, tore his ACL and broke his arm on the same play, too. It was a different type of play, but it's just weird to imagine going through those both rehabs at the same time
awful.
I feel for the guy. Moving on, Odell Beckham. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right, so we talked about it on Sunday's show. I found it kind of strange. I'm just going to say strange, and I find Odell Beckham kind of strange
really weird.
In general that he scored two touchdowns. The first time he scored a touchdown, he pretended to be a dog and then peed on the end zone. And then the second time he evoked Tommy Smith at the 1968 Summer Olympics by raising his right hand in the air and balling his hand into a fist. It was just a weird order, juxtaposition of it all. And after the game, it was kind of weird because after the game, he just said that he was a dog. He just explained he was a dog when he was asked, why did you do that? And then, Greg, and what you hit on when we were talking earlier today, I agree with you. On Twitter, someone said, oh, maybe this has something to do with President Trump calling players, son of a bitch, maybe a dog. And he seemed to kind of run with that potentially as the explanation.
Yeah, it's unclear. You know, he responded to that on Twitter, and I don't know. I don't need to try to figure out what Odell Beckham is saying.
You never
on
will.
Twitter. It doesn't really matter. But the interesting thing, too, is that John Mara, the Giants owner, came out pretty strongly that he was unhappy with Odell Beckham and is going to have a talk with him. And Doug Peterson, the Eagles coach, was very unhappy about it. So I'm not really sure. I feel like if that was Odell Beckham's message, then why wouldn't he have said that on Sunday when he was asked about it?
Yeah.
But the fact that the Giants are going to sit down and talk to him about this.
It's also the day with obvious overt distractions. And you're expecting certain things. Celebrations are now allowed. That's, in theory, a good thing. But then you get this. It's like it added another giant subplot for a team that is struggling right now and does not need additional weighty subplots.
This has always been the thing with Beckham. Like, he's been doing stupid celebrations. He's always been lauded for them no matter what. Like, that drove me crazy last year when he was like – He knocked the net over, and then for like four straight weeks, he would hug the net, kiss the net, and then he proposed to the net. Everybody's like, oh, that wacky Odell, he's doing it again. It's like, it's not a great bit. It's not the best bit. And this is another example, to me, not the best bit.
But I like the hurdles that he did.
The hurdles
that
were good.
That was good.
I like the hurdles.
Good.
But I think, here's the thing. First of all, Doug Peterson, pipe down. I'm sure you're upset about it. Get over it. But, you know, Giants ownership is going to talk to Odell Beckham, but what's that really going to do? Beckham is the Giants. He's become bigger than the team.
Off a fantastic game. Why aren't we talking about the amazing game he had because of this?
Right. The question should be to the Giants ownership. What are you really going to do?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
The fact that he thought about this ahead of time, he clearly did and like was like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do that on my first touchdown.
And if he were like a third string long snapper, he would be looking for work at like Rite Aid right now. So they're going to do nothing is what they're going to do. You're right.
Anybody that listens that works at Rite Aid, it's a great
I love Rite Aid.
It's right
not a knock. I'm just saying, why not get a
we're
former,
get in trouble
why not
for
get a former NFL player on your staff if you could get one?
That's the only problem that I would say that, and he's a very unusual personality, Odell Beckham, but they've kind of let him go unchecked this long, and now I really do think he's bigger than the team, and he's the biggest star on the team, and he's the biggest star in New York. There's nothing they can do. He's not going to get suspended or anything.
What are they going to say to him? Like, what are they really going to say? They're going to just admonish him for, like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. That was embarrassing.
I mean, it's great ownership. Like, the Maras are, like, arguably the most respected owners in the league. But I don't know. We'll see. All right. That's what's happening in the news. I can't wait to see what he has in store next week, guys. All right. Moving on. It's time, everybody. This is exciting. As I scramble through my notes, Christian Anderson does such a nice job every week setting me up, and then I just let him down every week. This is the Shoulders of Greatness. Presented by Head and Shoulders. Oh, yeah, we love our sponsors, and we love shampoo and conditioner in one. Takes out a step.
Well, it's less plastic. It's all one bottle. We have it in our bathroom.
Time saver.
We do.
Total time saver. Anyway, who will have the Shoulders of Greatness on Thursday between the Packers and the Chicago Bears? And let's go around the room. I want you guys to throw out somebody that's going to have some great shoulders.
Mm.
Like me to start?
Sure.
I think the most interesting player in this entire game outside of Aaron Rodgers is Tariq Cohen.
Yeah.
And the combination of him and Jordan Rodgers, but I'll just talk about Cohen. I think it actually Howard.
Although it would be great if Jordan Rodgers.
Yeah, excuse me, Jordan Howard.
I feel like it's overdue.
It is overdue.
Aaron, why won't you talk to us?
This is already completely off the rails. Chicago, a team that I kind of just utterly dismissed, and I've learned at this point that anything that I dismiss in August is bound to come back and bite me. How about the Bears? I mean, they actually have to play around their quarterback, not unlike a few other teams, and Howard and Cohen have made them interesting to watch, and they actually helped win that game last week for them. So I think this does not, to me, line up to be just a typical Bears-Packers game where I'm just going to watch it on Gamecast because it's going to be about 45-7. I think Chicago has the elements to stay in this, and it starts with the run game.
Yeah, the offensive line has done a really good job opening holes for them too, but is it Tariq?
I think it's Tariq Cohen.
Okay. That's what I thought. I've heard it a couple different ways, though. But
people say things strange.
That's true. Watching him play, he's so much fun to watch. So I don't want to copy off of yours. I'm going to take a different guy. What about Geronimo Allison after last week? I really liked that play. Or I could go with Marcus Cooper, maybe. He comes back.
Or you could go with one of the names on the card
himself here.
You could do that, too.
You can pick whoever you want.
That's okay. I
got to pick
one.
No one would know.
Any great performance goes off
all
script.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, you got to stay on
script. No. All right, I'll stay on script. I'll go with Mike Glennon.
Shoulders of Greatness, Mike Glennon.
How did Mike Glennon get on this card as an option?
They're very hot. The shoulders are higher than almost than anyone else's shoulders the entire NFL. They are up there.
Is that a neck joke?
No, I just he's tall.
Like DeForest Buckner with their shoulders.
They're above the ground. I don't know if he's gonna have the greatest shoulders.
He hasn't had them yet.
How about Aaron Rodgers seems like a good option against the Chicago Bears. It's a matchup he's done fairly well in. I feel
14
like every
and four
single
against
one of these
Chicago.
Has been in primetime and he's destroyed them. This game's in Green Bay. It's interesting. He was about a quarter away from people saying like Aaron Rodgers off to another slow start, because no one really talked about that. Their passing game was not very good both of the first 2 weeks and the first half against the Bengals, and then Aaron Rodgers kind of did what he does every season. He started to heat up and played well.
Right. Well, he is 14-4 against the Bears, which is a thorn in the side of all Chicago fans, but he is 0-4 on prime time. Does that mean anything? It's smart to say it means literally nothing, so that's what I'll say. It means absolutely nothing that he's never beaten them on prime time.
You know whose shoulders feel great or are going to feel great on Thursday, even despite the struggles on Sunday? Jay Cutler. Because Jay Cutler would just go to Green Bay every year with the Bears and get absolutely destroyed. Listen, the card has all the answers on it. I understand
I didn't know this. Sorry, Christian.
Big show for Christian.
Christian is on his car running home by this point. He's done with this.
But Jay Cutler will not lose to the Packers as a member of the Bears, and I feel like he's going to feel good about that on Thursday. Anyway, next time you hear us talking about this game, will be our Thursday show where we'll recap the game. But that's it. The Shoulders of Greatness, and, you know, presented by Head and Shoulders.
Yeah.
Nice seg, guys. One of our better segs, I'd say.
Totally.
All time.
Super smooth.
right up there. All right, moving on. It's time for Bizarro Hot Takes. All right, so week 3, like Odell Beckham, weird. All these things that the football cognoscenti thought were going to play out didn't play out. So, trying to get ahead of the curve a little bit here, trying to beat the other. There's a reason why we're such an incredibly successful NFL podcast is because we're playing chess.
It's our power of predictions over the years. That's what really put us over the top.
What's our lock?
Intense track
record right now?
We are, I believe, 2-8 on locks this year.
So wildly successful.
So what we're trying to do here is get
leverage
better.
Leverage that.
Yeah, we're trying to get better. So that's what Bizarro Hot Takes is about. It's kind of like guessing what's going to happen on Sunday, but going completely against conventional wisdom, because that's how week 3 works. So I'm going to throw out some headlines here, and you guys can tell me if they are believable at all as something that could happen. But then keep in mind, last week, a lot of the things that happened were not believable at all until they did. So here we go.
Okay.
First one, the Cleveland Browns dominate the Bengals, dropping Cincinnati to 0-4. Anybody buying that could actually happen?
I view the game as a coin toss to start with. Dominate
coin
is
toss.
Interesting. Because I can't remember the last time Cleveland dominated. You have to go back to 2014 to a time they dominated anyone in a game, and that was smoke and mirrors. So I'd be a little concerned. Cleveland has a lot of issues when I watch them. Their defense completely fell apart last week, but I don't think that the Bengals thing they had against Green Bay, nice half, but they have done overall a very poor job on the season. In Cleveland, they can take them down.
If the Browns are going to do it, they need to get their run game going. That's one thing that we haven't seen yet. But I think that the Bengals offense looked better, obviously, than we've seen it the first 2 weeks with Bill Lazor in there. Andy Dalton still doesn't really look right, though.
No.
But
this is believable.
Yeah.
Really?
It's a road division game. To me, I agree. You know, maybe the Bengals are slight favorites, but let's not get carried away. These are two of the worst teams in the league playing each other. Whoever loses this game, it's going to be some hot seat action for the
some
coach.
Hot butt?
I don't
oh,
use
you know
that.
I love that
wow.
hot butt.
I don't use that.
For oh, give me that hot butt all day.
I mean, I'm just saying, whichever coach loses this game is going to be 0-4 and be
so
under
disturbing.
A little fire. I think the Hugh Jackson honeymoon might kind of end if they go and start.
I think, Greg, you made a great point last week that Colts game was the game they needed to go in and show what they were about. Please end this. Thank you. Please
it's so
this.
Awful.
Yeah, and they got killed in that game until a late comeback in garbage time. They absolutely need to make a statement.
Let's move on. I worry, Mark, about the Joe Mixon breakout game happening in Cleveland.
Well, breakout games happen in Cleveland.
I think it's going
to happen
back
soon. To my time watching them in the mid-80s, so it's possible.
You know, 150 total yards type thing. We'll see. Moving on. Tom Brady's hot streak, and he's been super hot the last 2 weeks. He's always hot. right, Greg? But on the field, super hot, I think 9 touchdowns, comes to a crashing halt in a Panthers victory. How about that? How believable?
Well, I think the least hot take thing ever was predicting Dan would make this one of his hot takes. Like, if we do this segment 15 times, Tom Brady having a bad game is on it 15
well,
times.
Well, you know me well. I'll give it to you. So, can it happen? Now, let's look at it. He did get shut down in week one. He has looked tremendous the last 2 weeks, obviously. But the Panthers, we were talking the Panthers up. They were the number one defense in the league going into week three. Didn't go so well for them against the Saints. Is it possible? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Not at all. I mean, if Cam and the Panthers can't take advantage of the Saints' defense, I don't know how they're going to even score points in this one. Now, the Patriots' defense is not anything great. They have allowed so many yards.
We're just talking about Tommy.
Tommy.
Because he did get beat up last week, too. That is always, you know, maybe they can get after him.
He just finds a way. A bad game for him is like 340 yards in like 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Well, so go to week one. That's a bad game.
But that happens once a season, tops.
Their tackle situation has been bad this year. Nate Solder's not playing well. They Marcus Cannon's not really playing well. You can see him getting hit a lot. I don't think it's crazy to think that this could be more of a defensive game because I do still believe in the Panthers.
All right, let's move on. Connie, you're going to get us going on this one. Colts become the latest team to shut down the Seattle Seahawks' troubled offense. The Colts do it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, who would predict that?
Whoa.
But that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get ahead of the curve here.
On Sunday.
You know what? I feel like this actually could happen because the Seahawks have not looked good at all.
They're a mess.
What is going on with them. And Jacoby Brissett, I always want to say brisket. It's a problem. Jacoby Brissett is, like, now that he has a little bit more time in the offense.
Slice me off a piece of that.
Yes, but this is not about Jake Brissett. This is about that Seahawks troubled offense.
Okay.
Is it going to get shut down once again against the mediocre Colts?
I'd be concerned if Doug Baldwin is not on the field. He was sort of the central force of that offense last week, and they did a lot through the air, but the box score.
But this is not about Doug Baldwin. This is about the Seahawks.
Stay on top.
No, that's right. That's right. Mark's right.
No, this is about Seattle's offense. I don't think Seattle's offense.
I'm being really nice. I'm trying to guide Colleen back to the heart of the segment.
There we go.
I'm trying to do it subtly, but I'm doing my best as the host.
Okay.
Mark, you're right.
Got it. Got it.
It's on the Seattle offense.
Oh, I started to become completely confused myself. So.
This is like the sandwich thing. All right, got it.
Or it's, you know, this is like number 7 on your depth chart of important things to do this week.
Ooh.
That's not true.
Oh, I love this heat. Network talent heat.
I'm booing you.
I'm joking.
Greg has said he's heard a lot of booing. There's more.
The crowd should be throwing
the Seahawks have no run game. How about that? That works.
Poke in the bear. Hey, the Seahawks offense has been worse than the Colts defense this year. There's not even a question.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks offense, by the way, hasn't exactly been playing the best defenses in the league. I mean, the Packers, the Titans, yeah, they're fine. They're okay defenses. They're not great.
Do you give any credence to what happened in the later stages of that game against Tennessee? I mean, it was very imbalanced. It's not a kind of offense I think you get far with, but they chalked up points and yardage.
I got to see them put together 4 quarters.
I agree with you.
I think they could definitely struggle again.
With that said, it's on Sunday Night Football in Seattle. They get healthy.
It's a major problem if they don't do it, but let's see. Another one. Here we go. 2 more. Steelers offense finally comes to life. A 40-point explosion in Baltimore, of all places. Another defense that had a bad week in week 3, but we like a lot overall. The Steelers have really struggled to put it together. Big Ben hasn't played very well. Le'Veon Bell is doing things, but not producing at his normal rate when healthy. What do you think, Mark?
I do not think this is possible because I think if I take one thing from last week that I think will not be duplicated and will be quickly eradicated as a week-to-week thing is Baltimore's offense looking as bad as they did. I think this team, John Harbaugh made it clear, he does not want to go back to London ever again, he basically said. I think that trip affected them. I don't think that this is a defense that suddenly, after looking great for 2 weeks, is going to just do what they did in week 3 over and over. No.
That's a nice narrative for them, and I get why they're playing that card, but come on. That's excuse making of the highest order. Wouldn't be surprising at all. I need these takes to be a little hotter because Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and an offensive line that's been there, they will never shock me if they go out there and put 500 yards up. Yes, they've
40
been,
points.
I mean,
that's what he said. 40 points. I'm not buying 40 points.
If Blake Bortles can do it, Ben,
that's a great point.
Well, then the team we were calling the best, the best defense in the AFC of 5 days ago suddenly is like, a trash heap.
Like Colleen, I needed to listen a little closer to that. Sorry.
And finally,
we should
Monday
give
Night
Colleen
Football.
One more chance.
Yeah, Connie, here we go.
All right, so listen.
Now pay attention.
The Steelers offense. I'm talking about the Steelers offense against the Ravens defense here.
No,
I get it.
No, we're
right?
moving
no?
on.
No,
I'm going to give you a fresh start. I want you to pay very close attention to who the teams and players.
The LSD has set in.
I need to see it in writing.
All right, here we go. You can see it right there on the screen, too.
Okay.
Colleen mentally thinking, in the C block of the power ranking show, I need to set up Elliot.
Gotta come up with some zinger.
Are you sure the Titans are better than the Texans?
I need to – Elliot threatened me to make a compliment of his hair. I need to hit that hard in the C block. All right, here we go. Ready?
All right.
Monday Night Football talk.
Yep.
Kareem Hunt's September hot streak halted by Redskins. Kareem Hunt has played very well.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No, I don't think at this point Kareem Hunt looks so good.
Don't start talking about Kirk Cousins.
I'm not. This is all about Kareem Hunt.
Here we go.
He's getting the bulk of the touches there. He's gone over 100 yards from scrimmage in, I think, three straight games now. He makes these awesome, huge chunk plays and helps them seal the win. Look at what he's doing on the ground. 10.1 yards per carry. That's amazing.
He's
no
an MVP
way.
Candidate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now.
No, I'm with Connie on this one.
I did it.
You nailed it. Yes. Up top.
I can see this happening. You know, you should play this clip for Greg Minuski because every telecast, the broadcaster talks about how angry Greg Minuski was about everyone given credit. Pete Schrager gave. You know, was saying how, he was sick of hearing about how Sean McVay was some offensive genius and they shut down the Rams. He was sick of hearing this was a tough matchup against the Raiders, and he made Derek Carr look like he had a tough game. One of the worst Derek Carr and Raiders offensive games ever. So if they can shut down the Raiders, they can shut down.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is in Kansas City, which I think is the toughest place to play in the NFL right now. So I just think they're going to be feeling it. And this is a Chiefs team that finally I'm excited to watch. They're aggressive. I think he's going to have a shutdown. Shutdown means what? Less than 40 yards or something?
Bad game. It's a bad game.
That I don't see. Does he have to just explode for 280? No, he could be in the middle there somewhere.
Are you saying, Greg, that Minuski defused a Schrag bomb?
Ooh.
All I'm saying is I watch.
Bomb squad.
Is
click the yellow wire. Eat it, Schrago.
In each of the last in each of the last 2 weeks, the broadcasters have relayed a story that they spoke with Minuski and he was breathing hot fire to them. I think that fire
sexy.
Is, you know, it's carrying over to his team.
I think passion is sexy.
He reminds me of one of those like super intense like Pop Warner coaches from your youth. It was like some guy's dad, and he was like, he is getting off work out of the office. He's hitting practice hot.
I mean, Schrager's talented. Sideline guy.
He does it
morning
all.
Morning show host.
Busy man.
The coach who's like muzzled in his like mid manager role and he can't even get an office. He has a cubicle.
He's like an animal let out of a cage. He came out like a bunch of like sixth grade boys.
All that rage, all that rage on 11-year-old boys. All right, there you go. There's some bizarre hot takes for you. Let's move on, and it is time, Greg. Get excited, Greg, because it is time for the subreddit super contest week 2.
Woo! Yeah.
All right, so you guys know the background here. Last week, the contest began 0-3. The users on the subreddit, the Around the NFL subreddit, have a chance to get 2 game tickets to any game across this country in London.
That's a great prize.
And away we go, okay? All you got to do.
It's legit. Good job by Dan.
Yeah.
You know, I've given you some grief with the contest.
Yeah.
But the prize and the work that you did behind the scenes to get these tickets,
buddy.
For our
tickets
juicy.
Are really expensive.
Fantastic.
Juicy gift.
Yeah, and I didn't do all the work alone, Mark Brady.
No, you did it all alone.
All right, here we go. So, 4 questions. You got to get them all right. You get one wrong, you're gone, and I'm not going to be nice to you either. You're just gone. Erica, loose cannon. We cut the line as soon as they fail.
You're out of here.
Gone.
All right, so let's start it up. Who do we got first?
Here we have Eric from Chicago. You there, Eric?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, guys?
All right, Eric.
Hey, Eric.
All right, Eric.
Let's do this, Eric.
Let's
you
do
can
it,
end
buddy.
It. You can end it right here.
We're all counting on you.
Yeah, I could be a certified tomato can, but I'm going to try to end this.
Is who's your favorite team? Bears?
Big Steelers fan. I was at Steelers-Bears, weirdest game you could ever go to. It was terrible.
Wow.
It was a very strange game, and it was a strange week. All right, here we go. You know the rules, right?
Yeah.
Don't pull any of this malarkey like last week. Somebody's like, pass, pass. No, there's no pass. You got to get four in a row, and that's it.
No malarkey.
All right, here we go. Here's the first question. This well-traveled backup threw for a career-best 369 yards and three touchdowns to lead the Vikings to a win on Sunday.
Wow.
Case Keenum.
All right, see?
Yeah! Let your freak flag fly.
Greg's liking that question.
I warmed you up a little bit.
Current events.
I warmed you up a little bit. All right, here we go. Eric from Chicago, big Steelers fan. Name three active players who have won Super Bowl MVP honors. Three active players. The second I hear a non-active player, you're gone.
Sure. Tom Brady, Eli Manning, Drew Brees.
That's correct. We're halfway
Whoa.
Home.
Whoa!
Halfway home. You feel the tension building?
My heart is racing.
You're doing great.
Me too, Eric.
Eric, you want to tell Greg how great this segment is?
I think it's going great.
A little lukewarm. Yeah. A little lukewarm. All right, here we go. Number three. Now, like I said, I mix in some ATN podcast trivia. Are you a regular listener? I would assume so if you're on the subreddit, Eric.
That's right.
Okay. What film did Mark Sessler call, quote, full of heart from start to finish?
That was Draft Day with Kevin Costner.
Whoa!
Oh, my
Eric
God!
Eric
is flying. He is one question away from two tickets.
Eric knows that I was savagely misquoted.
That's not true.
Well, they, you know.
I went to the midnight release of that movie with my wife, and
what?
Both were very disappointed.
All right, he's won the contest!
The rest of America.
That's it!
Oh, wait. No.
All right. We are now one away from doing it, from handing out those two tickets to Steelers. What a great team they are. They're still trying to get their act together.
Yep.
And maybe the game you go to, if you get this question right, is the game where their offense goes full flight.
Pittsburgh-Cleveland.
They drop a 50-burger when you go. That could happen in this reality.
That sound is Eric's heart right now.
It's in my throat.
All right, one question away. You ready, Eric?
Yeah.
I wanted to make you think maybe the phone dropped out. Here it comes. Name this person speaking.
Dan Hansen.
Wow. Von Miller's, he's really stepped up. He did the whole season, but especially these last two games against really great offensive teams to help shut them down.
Coach, can you sleep tonight now?
No, I'm going to party all night. Come on with me.
Name him.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
no!
Is there any way I can hear it one more time, please?
I'll leave it up to Greg.
Sure. All yes.
Right, one more time.
All right.
And then you got to answer right away.
Von Miller's, he's really stepped up. He did the whole season, but especially these last two games against really great offensive teams to help shut them down.
Coach, can you sleep tonight now?
No, I'm going to party all night. Come on with me.
Oh, my gosh. I'm taking it that it's one of Vance Joseph's coaches. I'm going to say...
Need an answer.
I know.
2 seconds.
All right. Hang up. Hang up.
Aww.
Very close.
Oh, so Greg is crushed. No. Get in tight on Greg. Look at the face. That is the face of disappointment. And I'm disappointed, too. I thought he had it.
It's a good last question. It's a good last question.
Good job, Eric.
Thanks.
He's gone.
That doesn't count.
Eric's out. I know.
Not good enough.
All right, let's move on.
I think a lot of listeners are going to lose their minds hearing that.
Right. This is the subreddit super contest. Connie, do you have to go?
I have to go.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Big meeting.
Big meeting.
I go to a meeting.
We're only half a show. She's on three
other
full shows.
That's not true.
She's got to go. All right. Connie's going.
All right.
But the contest goes on. Bye to the tiny box.
Great, great performance today by Colleen.
Thanks, guys.
And you did get the
thank you.
You did that segment with the Bizarro Hot Takes. By the end of it, you were in it. You were in. You were in. All right. Who's next on the line? Loose cannon.
We have Eric. Apparently, I like choosing people with names that sound similar to mine.
Eric from where?
Eric.
Hey, I'm from Minneapolis.
Eric from where?
Minneapolis.
Eric from Minneapolis.
Alrighty.
All right, Eric. You a Vikings fan or no?
Big time, unfortunately.
Right. There you go. I know, it's tough, but you know what?
Hope. Got some
Things
hope.
Things are going okay so far this season. Case Keenum is unstoppable. And you know what? I might even think you might get the first question right. Let's get into it. Good luck to you, Eric. Two tickets on the line. Let's do it. This well-traveled backup threw for a career-best 369 yards and three touchdowns to lead the Vikings past the Bucks on Sunday.
Case Keenum.
Very good.
Well done.
Well, that was Hot a layup, stuff. Especially a Vikings fan. That was beyond a layup.
Well, with the name mentioned 2 seconds before the question, that helped too.
Here we go. Name three active players who have won Super Bowl MVP honors.
Tom Brady.
Just one.
Aaron Rodgers.
Two.
And Eli Manning.
That's correct.
Nails it.
We're halfway home.
Nice work.
Now this one is going to be podcast related. What film did Mark Sessler call, quote, full of heart from start to finish?
it's the draft movie. I can't know, what is the name of that movie? Is it just called The Draft?
Oh, no.
Come
on, Eric.
Draft day.
Oh, he nailed it. He pulled it out.
He Googled it. He Googled it, everybody.
No Google, yeah.
We don't care if he Googled
it. No Google it.
And here's the thing.
Mark, we don't care.
Final question. And let me tell you something. Google ain't going to help you here. I'm not saying you did.
Oh, shoot.
You just got to know it. It is an audio question. Listen up.
Wow. Von Miller's, he's really stepped up. He did the whole season, but especially these last two games against really great offensive teams to help shut them down.
Coach, can you sleep tonight now?
No, I'm going to party all night. Come on with me.
Whose voice is that?
Holy cow.
Name?
I'm going to party all night.
The person speaking.
Didn't sound like Gronk, even though it sounded like something Gronk would say.
That is definitely not Gronk. And we got to say goodbye.
Oh, so close. So close.
We gotta prep these guys. Listen closely
to the question. I think he maybe didn't hear Von Miller, and it would have taken you to a whole different place. Got three deep. That question's getting tricky.
All right. It comes down to this. Who do we got, Erica? One more loose cannon.
We've got Dennis. Dennis, where are you from?
Hey, I'm from Rancho Cucamonga, California.
Hey, ah, nice. California
With
guy.
Justin Hathaway, old boss, used to live.
Yes.
It is your lucky day because two callers have gotten to the final question, but they've blown it, Dennis, giving you a chance here.
All right. That sounds good. Although, trivia is not my thing, but either you know it or you don't know it. I'm just happy to be on with the heroes. I'll give it my best shot.
All Rock and roll.
Who's your team, by the way?
Seahawks.
All right. Here we go. Here we go. Good luck. This well-traveled backup threw for a career-best 369 yards and three touchdowns to lead the Vikings past the Bucks on Sunday.
Case Keenum.
Oh, yeah.
Right, well done.
One down. Name three active players who have won Super Bowl MVP honors.
Oh, man, three active players that have won Super Bowl MVP honors. Okay, so Tom Brady.
One.
Vanquishing my Seahawks, of course.
Need some
sorry,
answers.
Guys. So the other Super Bowl MVPs. Okay, so Matt Ryan.
Oh, wow.
Ryan.
We gotta say,
wow.
No. Gotta say goodbye.
No.
Oh, Dennis. Egon.
Tough turn of events for Greg.
And a tragic turn for Greggy because it's coming back in week three.
Yeah, let's be honest. Matt Ryan's the worst answer.
Well, that's nerves. That's nerves.
In any trivia.
That's nerves.
Oh,
that's
just no. Nerves. So you nerves. Were just saying before that it's very tough when they're on the air. That was,
I know.
Those are nerves.
Wes and I know. A nice guy. You know, you're not yourself with the when the clock is on and it's tough. You know.
And by the way,
but Matt,
full of heart from start to finish, delivers on the great tension of the NFL draft.
But
while showing how human the entire process
that
is.
That will be fine.
Mark Sessler, NFL.com.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah, I am. Haven't I proved that already?
I like how, by the way, through this whole nonsense, Dan Helly, who was on the poster for this show, for that movie, and on our website, skates free entirely with an equally hideous review.
And by the way,
he's not a host on this show, though.
That was Wade Phillips, by the way. The Broncos defensive coordinator after Super Bowl 50. And I was surprised, especially Eric number one. I thought he had it. That was Wade Phillips on the field after the Broncos shut down, of course,
had the
Carolina
words,
Panthers.
Had the words, I think Von Eric, Miller had the word coach in there.
It had that
I think Eric number
draw.
Two, who was very confident in his first three answers, did not hear Von Miller.
Well, that's a problem.
That's my theory. But
all right. That's a subreddit super contest for week two. We're coming back, Greg, week three. I'm telling you, I try to help them out this week, and I don't know how much easier I can get before it just starts insulting people's intelligence. So I gotta go back to the lab.
I'm starting to have a little bit of concerns that there's some 1940s, 50s quiz show stuff going on here. That these, you know, like, ooh, Johnny from Rancho Cucamonga
Dennis
is really, you know, Dan's best friend from the Coal Town.
It's actually a good idea.
Just
idea.
Got different Dan friends getting get it to the fourth question. Sound really smart. ask for it to be repeated a second time.
I mean, Greg,
I could see him
for this to have legs.
So
it has to go at least 14, 15 weeks. So you know,
I thought it was over. I thought it was
I did
over
too,
the
from
first
it.
Guy up today, but it wasn't. So again, watch out for Erica on the subreddit next Monday. She'll put up another thread, and you could be picked. The live stream of the ATN show, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget about the NFL Pick'em on NFL Network on Saturdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 11 p.m. Eastern. And then Sunday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern. But that's it for this show. Thank you for everyone. And thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you for the listeners, even the Dennis and the two Erics. Maybe next time. Dan Hand is signing off for The Quiet Storm. Connie Fox, the boss, and everyone on the glass till Thursday.